We spoke about this yesterday on the programme. Now, there's no guarantee that it's going to happen, but if the Blues beat the Minnows of San Marino, Linfield could be playing Celtic just before we light the bonfires on the 11th night.
Yeah, what an extraordinary draw it was yesterday in Switzerland in the Champions League, setting up a potential blockbuster tie between Celtic and Linfield. You're right in what you say, Frank. Linfield have to beat a team called La Ferita from San Marino. They play them next week in the first leg at Windsor Park of the first qualifying round. I believe that Linfield are plenty good enough to beat that side. I would say 70-30 in terms of Linfield winning that game. And I know David Healy will be totally focused on that match before he thinks about Celtic. But what a carrot for the players to be able to play at Parkhead, one of the great iconic venues in sport, and also to have Celtic come to Windsor Park. You're right in what you say as well in terms of the date. July the 11th is the date at the moment, but that could change, Frank, because there are security fears about that date. There's going to be a meeting between the PSNA and Linfield. Celtic and UEFA will also be involved in that later this week, and that will determine when this match at Windsor Park is actually played.
Usually, in a situation like this, the Minnow, as in Linfield, would get hosting the game first of all, because they're still in with a shout when they go to visit the big stadium of the Giant. The chances of that happening this time round are basically nil. You would need to be living in cloud cuckoo land to permit a game at Windsor Park featuring Linfield and Celtic on the 11th night.
Well, I can tell you that Linfield are determined to play the first leg at Windsor Park. Now, it may not be on the 11th. It's certainly not going to be on the 12th, but there is the possibility that they may go to UEFA and say, well, what about playing it on the 13th, given the extreme circumstances? But I do know for a fact, Frank, that Linfield want to play the first leg at Windsor Park. Whether the PSNI want that to happen is another scenario entirely. And, of course, we all know that the PSNI resources are going to be stretched to the limit that week with the Orange Order marches happening obviously on the 12th, and you've got the bonfires on the 11th. You've got all the people who will come over from Scotland itself, you know, let alone all the Celtic fans. UEFA are going to be a key element in all of this. They don't want to change it either, because they, once the draw is made, they will say, right then, whoever was drawn out first, they play their home game first. So the discussions between the PSNI, Linfield and UEFA are going to be very, very interesting indeed. Ultimately, you have to do what's best in terms of safety. In a dream scenario, you know, Linfield should be playing their first leg first, because that's the way it was drawn out. And also, it means you don't have a dead rubber, because the likelihood is that Celtic are going to beat Linfield pretty comfortably at Windsor, at Celtic Park. So you want the game still alive at Windsor Park, because there's going to be live TV there, I understand. Companies are already coming into Linfield trying to bid for this. So, listen, Linfield can make a lot of money out of this. But, of course, I know that the board there as well, and know the chairman, Roy McGivern, very well. He will think of the safety aspect as well. But there's a big meeting coming up this week, Frank, and that will decide what's going to happen here.
Yeah, the 13th seems like a runner, doesn't it? By that time, I suppose the tension has gone out of the air, or the celebration has gone out of the air, whatever you want to call it, over the 11th and the 12th. If they insist on the 11th or the 12th, if they say it must be played on one of those days and it must be played in Scotland, how disappointed do you think the Linfield fans would be if they weren't here for the 11th night, or, God forbid, they weren't here for the 12th? Which would be most important to them, Stephen?
You'd have to ask the Linfield fans that one, Frank. But I do know, you know, that this football match means so much to Linfield. And yes, they have to get through the game against the San Marino side first. But Linfield Celtic will be the biggest game in Linfield's history. You have to just look at the context of this match. For starters, it's the first time Linfield have played in the Champions League for 5 years, because they haven't been winning titles for that length of time. They get drawn against Celtic, who are like one of the biggest global brands in football. Celtic are managed by Brendan Rodgers, who of course comes from Carnlough. Last season, Celtic were invincible in domestic football. They won the treble. And Brendan Rodgers has got a brilliant relationship with the Linfield manager, David Healy. And you've got the rivalry factor as well. So listen, there are the ingredients here to make the tastiest of cakes. But of course, there's also the security element as well, which could be poisonous in its own way, because you just don't know if there could be hangers-on who might want to cause trouble. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of Linfield fans and a lot of Celtic fans, they're as good as gold, but there will always be a minority element who might want to stir up the pot. And hopefully that won't happen in both of these matches at Windsor Park and at Celtic Park. And we're just talking about a great occasion in terms of the football. I'd love to see Linfield play first against Celtic at Windsor Park, purely because of the spectacle and purely because the tie is still alive at that point. And I think it would be great for the game here, but I am aware that you have to take into consideration all of the security aspects of this particular fixture.
Without doubt, and I agree with you entirely about the good football fan will enjoy the football. There is a serious danger about the bandwagon jumpers and the hangers-on, and that's what the police are going to be particularly concerned about. There is no way that it is going to happen on the 11th or 12th in Belfast. You don't have to be sitting here presenting a radio program or where you are as a sports writer to know that. It is not going to be happening on the 11th or the 12th in Belfast. The chances are the 13th seems like a good idea. Which day of the week, by the way, are we talking? Is that a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
The 12th, I believe, is a Wednesday, so the 11th would be a Tuesday. And you're right, there's no way that this match is going to take place on July the 12th. It's funny, you know, Frank, over in Switzerland where the draw was taking place, within 5 minutes of meeting each other, the Linfield and Celtic officials had decreed and decided that this match would not take place on July the 12th. However, they were more than happy to make this game a fixture for July the 11th with an early evening kickoff. Celtic and Linfield basically had unofficially agreed this yesterday, and now the PSNI have got into the act here, and there's obviously concerns, and understandable concerns given the week that's in it, and they will have this meeting this week with all the other parties. And it's, you know what, Frank, I've dealt with UEFA many times, and UEFA can be an extraordinary organisation to deal with, and they don't like being told what to do. Good luck, whoever is on the PSNI panel talking to the officials at UEFA. I just hope they get someone who's reasonable.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the police are right on this. Even if you played the game at 5 o'clock, realistically, you could play it at 5 o'clock on the 11th night, because people, you can't play it any earlier than that, or it's going to be a damn squib, because people need to go to their work. So, it's, say, 5 o'clock at Windsor Park, and the stadium is clear by half seven, and everyone's away home. The problem is, you're going to have about, how many Celtic fans would there be? 3,000-4,000 Celtic fans allowed into the stadium for the match?
In terms of the Celtic supporters coming over, at the moment Linfield are considering giving Celtic the North Stand. Now that North Stand holds 6,500, but my hunch is Celtic will probably get the top tier. I don't think they'll get both tiers. So about 4,000 Celtic fans would be expected to attend this match.
Okay, so you're going to get 4,000 genuine football fans who want to come from Glasgow or from other parts of the fan base to watch the match. And then you're going to get a bunch of bandwagon jumpers who are going to come because they want to be in and around the city because Celtic are playing Linfield. On any evening of the year, that could be difficult for the PSNI. On the 11th night, that is going to be a disaster. If you have 5,000-7,000 Celtic fans sort of nightclubbing in Belfast on the 11th night, you don't have to be Chief Constable George Hamilton to know that that's a recipe for disaster.
It's certainly a challenge for police. There's no question about that, Frank. Bear this in mind as well, you know, that there's money to be made here, and it shouldn't all be about the money, I'm aware of that. But Linfield, if they get through against the San Marino team, they've made £700,000, okay? And then there's TV revenue. If Linfield play against Celtic first at Windsor Park, as I've said before, the TV companies will be queuing up to show this match live because of the colour, the noise, the rivalry, everything that goes with this game. And the fact that Celtic are one of the biggest global supported clubs on the planet. They're big business, and they've got Brendan Rodgers now, who makes them even bigger business. So you've got all that to take into account. If the match is at Parkhead first, I do wonder if the TV companies will want a piece of the Linfield Celtic match, because there will be that dead rubber aspect to it.
Well, just let's look at it the other way, Stephen. Let's presume that Linfield beat Celtic.
Well, if that happens, Frank, to quote Les Dennis in Family Fortunes, I'll give you the money myself.
Let's hope they can beat the San Marino team, first of all, because it's going to certainly be something that'll give us loads of coverage. And you said it last night on the TV, Stephen, you've alluded to it again today. We want to be talking about football, brilliantly played football by two teams to be proud of. That's what we really, really want.
Oh, without question. And you know what? Brendan Rodgers and David Healy are two of our great footballing heroes and two brilliant individuals. I've known them for a long time. And, you know, when you think of what David Healy has achieved in his career, Northern Ireland's record goal scorer, now he's won the treble for Linfield. And he's a brilliant young man, as you know, Frank. And Brendan Rodgers always keeps an eye on Northern Ireland sport. He will celebrate it. He will always try and talk it up. And he has got a good relationship with David Healy. In fact, I can tell you this, Frank. After David won the treble, Brendan got in touch with me to send his congratulations to David. So he was keeping an eye on David Healy, who he's known for a long time. So there's a great relationship between those two. I know they'll approach any potential Celtic Linfield match with respect and say all the right things. And if it happens, I just hope all the fans behave themselves, because it will be the biggest club game in Northern Ireland history, in my opinion. It's that massive, because you're going to have a sellout crowd of 18,000 at Linfield. You've got Celtic coming, who, as I said, are just such a massive name in football terms. And the colour, the atmosphere, everything about it could be brilliant. I just hope it's not off the field trouble that we're talking about. I hope we're talking about what was two fantastic occasions at Windsor Park and at Celtic Park, and we can celebrate that instead of the other.
Stephen, thank you very much indeed. Sports broadcaster, sports writer Stephen Beacom. And I hope it is the first game in Belfast, and I hope it's on the 13th of July. Your opinions are very welcome. 90-333-105.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Here for you.
Let me speak to George, who's in this line. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Frank. Stephen's not with you, because I would have a good conversation to bring you up to date of how good the Irish football is. But I want to talk about the match on the 11th of July. There's no way it'll be played, because tell me, how is the Celtic fans going to get to Northern Ireland? The boats are all... there's no seats on the boats. There's no seats on the planes. People coming home for the 12th. The band's coming over from Scotland. How will the Celtic fans get? Will they swim?
Sure. How will the other people get on the boat? You know, they're entitled to apply for a ticket as a marching band or a holidaymaker.
Yeah, but they have already booked.
So you reckon if you were to book a ticket on our fine ferries for the 11th of July, you couldn't get a seat today?
You would be very, very lucky getting a seat.
That's interesting. Maybe can they put on additional boats? Can they do that?
The planes are all about two.
Yeah, George, you could be absolutely right. Maybe the Stena and the P&O and all those are booked to the rafters on the 11th, and it's impossible to get on. I do not know. I'm sure they'd be incredibly busy. I agree with you. As for the flights, maybe they're particularly busy as well. I don't know if you're accurate with that. That if you were to book today, could you do a sea crossing from Scotland to Northern Ireland on the 11th of July? But you think that's the only reason? There's another more obvious reason why they won't be hosting this game in Belfast on the 11th.
Well, close to bonfire night.
It'd be madness, George, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yes, let's all agree. It's madness to bring Celtic to Belfast on the 11th night.
I want to give you a wee lesson, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying about Linfield not having a snowball chance against Celtic.
Well, Stephen Beacom said that.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to him. I remember Linfield playing Man City in the 70s, and they beat them 2-1 at Windsor and lost 1-0, and Manchester were knocked out in the way goals.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Torn played Benfica in 68, just after the World Cup, and the leading goal scorer in the World Cup, of course, as we all know, was Eusebio of Benfica, and he scored in Belfast a penalty. And Glenn Turn went to Benfica and drew nil each, was knocked out in the way goals rule, and they were the first team ever to hold Benfica to it, and nil each draw in Europe. So our football's much better than what people think. On the day, if the players are up for it, they can match. It's 11 against 11.
You think so? Even today in 2017, with the multi-million pound players that would be playing for Celtic against the players who would be playing for Linfield, that over two legs, one at Windsor, one at Celtic Park, you genuinely think Linfield would be in with a shout of some sort?
Well, I just told you about two incidents.
Yeah, but those were back in the mists of time, the 70s and the 60s or whatever.
Yeah, but Man City had Franny Lee,
Colin Bell, Mike Summerby,
yes,
Tommy Booth, Joe Corrigan.
Yes.
Glyn Pardoe.
And Benfica had Eusebio, and they were champions of Portugal for years.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, you make a very good point. Those are two facts of history. But I just wonder, would there be any chance of Linfield even scaring Celtic? George, you know, if they beat the San Marino team and they run Celtic close, give me a ring, come back on, and we'll get Stephen Beacom on. And you know that money he was talking about? I tell you what, do you see, if Linfield win, Stephen Beacom has actually offered to give us the money himself. George, you'll get a slice, all right?
Thanks very much, Fred.
Cheers, fella. Thank you.
All the best.
There's a man who believes in local football. Let me speak to Peter on line three. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I was just thinking there, you know, there's a place called Dublin where there's planes come into it, boats come in, and sure they can get in. But you know what I feel sorry for, Frank? Last year, the European Championships, you had Northern Ireland supporters and Republic of Ireland supporters getting together, drinking and having a good time. And what happens this time? Because there might be Linfield and Celtic supporters, and because they're putting a different jersey on, the whole attitude changes. You know what I mean? The last year they've been drinking together and having a good time, and this year, because they've got the local soccer teams on, they're probably going to be different attitudes. And I think at the end of the day, we're maybe doing them injustice. I think they could come and behave, and there could maybe be no trouble, you know what I mean?
On the 11th night?
Well, you know, why can't they play it at 3 o'clock?
Because, you know, on the 11th, well, I suppose it's holiday time, isn't it? Could you play it at 3 o'clock? But however, even if it was played at 7 o'clock on the 11th morning, the yeah, Celtic fans would still be in Belfast on the 11th night. They'd be drinking all day. And I'm not in any way castigating Celtic fans here. I'm just saying that on the 11th night, you would have hoops all round the city full as poos. You would have loyalists lighting bonfires. You would have Linfield fans maybe celebrating a draw or even a win over Celtic, getting drunk in the city centre. It's a recipe for disaster. No wonder the PSNI want it changed.
Listen, but then let's be positive, and I know I'm being a wee bit here. You think it's
optimistic, yeah.
Yes. How do you know next day on the 12th, you may, or 13th, you're getting photographs of Celtic supporters at the bonfires? I know I'm being a wee bit...
At them? Are you saying at them or on them?
Yes, at them. No, at them. I think, you know, at the end of the day, the supporters aren't animals. They're people. It might be as bad. You have to give it a chance, you know what I mean? Listen, Celtic, if Celtic, they play the match away at home, and they all be over, and nobody will want to go, you know, You might even get the Celtic supporters coming over if they win 5 or 6-0, which would be a conservative sort of scoreline.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. If they play it in Scotland, first of all, it's going to take the absolute fun out of it. The first game needs to be in Belfast. I'm confident that Celtic, in this prediction, Celtic will beat Linfield in Glasgow. Celtic will beat Linfield in Glasgow, probably beat them by about 3 goals in Glasgow, but they won't beat them at Windsor Park. And that's why I think it'll be great crack. The first game needs to be at Windsor, and hopefully it'll be on the 13th of July.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Have your say on 90333105 or tweet at U105 Radio.
Mick says, Frank, did I fall asleep and wake up to find that Celtic are now Barcelona? Their Champions League also runs. They're playing, possibly, if the things all work out, an Irish league team. It's not Madrid against Juventus. The rhetoric around this is ridiculous, says Welsh Mick. Mick, good morning. Celtic are not Champions League also runs. Celtic last year managed to come within a hound's goal of beating the incredibly brilliant Manchester City. So do not call them also runs. But I get your point. Right, Malachy's in the same. Morning, Malachy.
How you doing, Frank?
Very good, Frank. Malachy.
Very interesting debate. I've been listening to every radio station all day. Here's the bottom line. I think you're on the money here. If they don't think there's going to be trouble at the Celtic Linfield match on the 11th night, I, as a nationalist, will go and hire a white horse, put a sash on, I'll carry a shillelagh, and I'll go up and down the Falls Road proclaiming my undying love for the Queen of England. If they don't think there's going to be trouble that much, are you people nuts? I mean, I've worked with guys who play in Orange Bands, and their whole culture or their whole thing on the 11th night from about 10 or 12 a.m. is getting absolutely hammered and then going to bonfires and burning everything Catholic or whatever way you want to do it. But that's what they do. Now, can you imagine thrown into the mix Glasgow Celtic and all the Celtic fans in Belfast? And then have these diehards telling me on the radio that there's going to be no trouble. It's insane.
I agree 100% with you. Not in relation to how early the bandsmen get drunk or what they actually burn on the fires, but I agree with you entirely about the potential for trouble. You couldn't make it up. It's like an April Fool's joke. Celtic playing Linfield on the 11th in Belfast. I am completely with the PSNI if they are using their good offices to liaise with UEFA to ensure that it isn't played on the 11th in Belfast. There is no way that game is going to be in Belfast on the 11th.
And then, Frank, you've got to understand as well, on the 12th of July, when the whole country is closed only for those people who join in the celebrations, you know, half the country is gone on holidays. So then you're going to have upwards to, you know, you'll probably have thousands of fans that would come to the match, but you're also going to have treble that in hotels and bars, and they're going to be all stuck here on the 12th of July. There's no buses on, there's no taxis on, so they're all going to be hemmed in to Belfast. Like, you may as well douse me in petrol and set me on fire.
It's not going to happen on the 12th, you know.
I know. They're
sensible enough to know that it's never going to be on the 12th of July. But
no, but I'm saying after the match, when the match is over on the 11th night, these guys can't go home on the 12th because everywhere is closed.
Yeah, right. Got your point. That's a good point.
They're all going to be hemmed into Belfast. So you're going to have upwards of 20 or 30,000 Scottish fans and Celtic fans in Belfast with the Orange Men, and they can't get out.
Yeah, now let's not overstate it, because it's looking like as if there'd be 6,000. 6,000 is a lot of Celtic fans. And my worry or concern isn't really about those actual Celtic fans who follow their team and follow them wherever they go. It's the hangers-on, the bandwagon jumpers, the people who will get a Celtic shirt to arrive for a row. Those are the ones that I'd be concerned about. And equally on the Linfield side, the people who would never be next or near Windsor Park supporting Linfield on a wet day against Glenavon, but they'll be there to cause bother because Celtic's in town.
100 110%, mate. 110%.
Yeah, so it's not going to happen. You can trust Malachy, trust me. There will be no match on the 11th of July featuring Linfield and Celtic in Belfast. It might happen across in Scotland. It's unfortunate if it does, but I'd like to see it on the 13th. I'd love to see the game at Windsor Park, first of all. Joe's on this line. Morning, Joe.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, Joe.
I was just getting in the car there, so just sort of caught up in your programme. But the one thing that I did hear you saying there was about Celtic fans, you know, congregating in their hoop shirts and drunk as poles and this and that the other. Frank, I just like that. I am a Celtic fan, and I have been all my life, and I've followed Celtic everywhere. Celtic fans are renowned throughout the world for their behaviour. Their behaviour is impeccable throughout the world. Their words, they actually received the UEFA nomination in 2004 for the supporters, 80,000 supporters in Seville for the UEFA Cup final, and not a single arrest. Now, can I also take you back to Linfield and Donegal Celtic? The trouble out there, yes, it was on both parts, but the majority of it happened when the Linfield fans broke through the police cordons, which the police didn't do anything to stop them to get at the Donegal Celtic fans. There were supporters that run onto the pitch freely, kicking footballers while they were trying to play a match. Now, I'm not saying that started it all, but it certainly ignited the flames.
Joe, I couldn't. Joe, just on the Celtic fans being praised across Europe as excellent fans, I couldn't agree more with you. I'm completely with you on that. Celtic fans, however, will go to matches, European games, and they will be in bars and they will be drunk. People do that, whether they're Celtic fans, rugby fans, GAA fans. People go to matches and they get drunk. My point is that the Celtic fans, no matter how well behaved the vast majority of them would be, and there would of course be bandwagon jumpers who wouldn't be well behaved, but no matter how well behaved the decent Celtic fan would be in Belfast City Centre on the 11th night, that is a recipe for disaster.
But Frank, what bandwagon are you talking about? Celtic fans could fill Windsor Park 20 times over.
I'm talking, Celtic, but Joe, this is the important bit. You're missing my point. The important bit is the people who turn up to be in Belfast on the 11th night with a Celtic jersey on, who've never watched Celtic play. They simply want to be there for a riot. Those are the people I'm talking about.
I'm sorry, but I disagree with you. I would say that those Celtic fans are few and far between. You would actually have more Linfield fans doing that.
Yes,
than
Joe, it doesn't matter whether they're... This is the point. It doesn't matter whether they put on a Celtic jersey or a Linfield jersey. They're going to be in the city centre wrecking the place on the 11th night, and that's why the match shouldn't be on.
Well, I agree with you that there probably will be trouble if it was played on the 11th night, but what I'm not agreeing with is how you're portraying it across. Celtic fans this, Celtic fans that. You actually made the point to that guy before, right before I came on, whereas where are all the Linfield fans when they are playing Glenavon on a wet Saturday afternoon? Nowhere to be seen. So they're the bandwagons. Those people are the ones that are jumping on the bandwagon. Not the Celtic fans that turn out in their 60,000s every single week to watch their team.
Okay. Joe, I absolutely get your point. However, maybe I just need to be clearer on this. I have no problem whatsoever with genuine Celtic fans or genuine Linfield fans. Joe makes a good point. Celtic have far more fans than Linfield have, but they can both be tarnished by bandwagon jumpers who would put on a shirt, come to town on the 11th night and wreck the place. And the ordinary decent fans who'd be sitting in the pubs having a drink, they'd be caught up in it. It'll be mayhem. The PSNI know what they're doing. There will be no match at Windsor Park featuring Celtic and Linfield on the 11th of July. It's a bit like Stevie Beacom saying that if Celtic are beaten overall by Linfield, he will give us the money himself. I'd go as far as to say I'll give you the money myself if the match is played in Belfast on the 11th of July. It simply will not happen. Right, however, I've been wrong in the past. 17 minutes to 11. What's on your mind? 90-333-105. We have a lot to do here. I'll look at some of these texts and emails after this. It's a good old Beatles and Day Tripper. Frank, Linfield fans, they will be there and they will thoroughly enjoy the match. I'll be there, says Pete, and I'm sure we'll give Celtic a good game. That is, if we actually get as far as that one, and I'm convinced we will. Good morning. Frank, to hold this game between Linfield and Celtic on the 11th night is crazy. How could the police control the fans? Celtic fans would have to travel at the same time as the Orange men on and the bands on the boat. This is impossible, says this texter. Maybe UEFA could pay for the extra policing, says this guy. And the next text coming up here says, Frank, you see the way Stephen Beacom said Parkhead when referring to Celtic's ground. My nephew is 28 and Celtic mad, but never believes me that it used to be Parkhead before Celtic Park. I always take the pee out of him because he doesn't really understand the club. Frank, if they have it early enough on the 11th, they can all enjoy it, says the texter. Bit of positivity there. Frank, to hold this match on the 11th is something that the police must object to. And there's quite a few saying something similar along those lines. I'm going to say hello to Jacqueline McMullen, who's painting the decking as we speak. Hi to you, Jacqueline. Best wishes from John. Frank, it should be played on the 13th, so the Kick the Pope bands will all have left, and indeed the hotels will be cleaned, and the place will be back to normal, says Joe, who obviously hasn't any time at all for the fine musicians who come from the length and breadth of the land to entertain on the 12th. Joan has a point. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, I'm not on to complain about football like I was the last time. Frank, I've just a couple of points to make. I think, I mean, for me and myself, my husband is a Celtic fanatic. I'm an Linfield fan. So that would be a good match in our house that day. But what I'm ringing for is, I was actually caught, the man phoned earlier about it being on the 11th of July because of all the problems with the boats and things. I sort of agree with him because the boats are booked up sometimes a year in advance for the 11th of July and 12th of July. But I actually got caught up once on a boat when there was a Celtic Rangers match in Northern Ireland. And I got caught up with Celtic fans and Rangers fans, and there was such a riot on the boat. They had to segregate the boat off. It was quite scary. So that's open to happen, you know.
Yeah, but that's a long time ago, isn't it? They don't travel on the same boat at the same time anymore.
They don't anymore, Frank, but they get into the dock at the same time, and there is the potential for it to be quite scary, to be honest with you.
I agree with you on the 11th. It would be a disaster. Scottish loyalists coming across, Celtic fans coming across, coming to Belfast with all the 11th night entails. Some people are telling us, however, they've checked the boats. You can still book the boat, and you can book EasyJet into Belfast as well on the 11th.
I think it would be anybody who thinks it wouldn't be some sort of trouble are very naive, to be honest with you. On both sides, I'm not speaking from anyone's side. I don't like to put a label on myself. I'm a human being. I don't like to put any religious label on myself. I'm very, you know, tolerant of both. You know, I like both communities. I have lots of friends on both sides, and I don't. That's not the way I think. But I just think people need to sort of realise there could be a possibility of trouble. And just my last point, Frank, can I just congratulate you on your balanced opinion on everything you speak about? I know everybody doesn't agree with me on there, but I listen to you every day, and you know I've spoken to you a few times. I think your opinion on anything that you speak about is very well balanced. That's why I listen to your show, to be honest with you. I love your opinions on things, and I don't think you're biased against any community, and I think you've a lot to say, which is what you're a talk show about, and I listen to you all the time, to be honest with you. You know, so it's just really, you know, I phoned the last time because you were talking to that man about the football, and I thought, oh, for God's sake, get that man off. We're listening to a talk show here, but I'm not a football hater. I'm just not a football lover, you know. But Linfield, Rangers, Celtic, they're always good games. They're always good to watch, and if people go there, if they keep the trouble and the religion out of the football, it'll be a great game to watch.
Okay, Joan, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Fine commentary. Did we record that so we could play it back? Yes, when I feel low sometimes, when they're coming at me in all roads and directions, calling me a loyalist or calling me a Republican or calling me a git, I'll play that back. Joan, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. George is on the line. Good morning, George.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, George, go ahead.
Frankie, are we talking to Stephen Beacom next time you ask them How did Celtic get on against those Giants from Gibraltar?
Yes, Celtic have struggled on occasions in the past, haven't they?
Gibraltar? My God. See, they're not getting out of full team.
Yeah, but when you said Gibraltar, you'd have to remind me, because Gibraltar's a national team, Celtic's a club team. Did they play them in a challenge match?
They played them in Europe.
Celtic played Gibraltar, but Gibraltar's got a national team. They, you know, it was
a team from Gibraltar.
Oh right, they played a Gibraltar team.
The first leg away.
Yeah, when was that?
It was during the season.
This season.
Yes.
They lost to a Gibraltar team,
yes,
in the European competition.
Yes. And Barcelona also put.
How did Celtic lose to a team from Gibraltar if Celtic went on to play Man City in the Champions League?
Leg, Frank.
Ah, but they didn't lose the overall game. They won the second leg by a cricket score.
No, they only went the well, it's only a couple of goals in it.
Yeah, but they won it. They won it. This is the thing.
But Frank, a team from Gibraltar.
Yes, I now remember the match. They were embarrassed.
Gibraltar were that bad. We were going to give a trial to one of the Ips from the island.
Yeah, they were. I do remember this now. They were beaten and they were embarrassed, and Brendan Rodgers was beside himself. But they went on to win the second leg, and they then excelled, or they eventually excelled in Europe. Because, as I say, any team that put Man City, well, I'm not saying this because I'm a Man City fan, but they put City to the pin of their collar. They've gone through the entire season without being beaten. I think they've gone through the entire season without actually losing a match. They haven't actually lost a match this year. Am I right on that?
I think it's a joke, Frank.
But is that a proper description of Celtic this year?
I'm saying, but the Scottish League, you can't gauge a team from the Scottish League.
Yeah, but Celtic are a good team.
They're a good team, but they're not that great as they're made out to be.
Yeah, but they're not.
When a team from Gibraltar beats you.
Ach, for goodness sake, that's one off in a blowy night.
And Barcelona put 7 past you.
Yeah, all right, George.
Okay,
they're useless. Celtic, you shouldn't be playing at all. Sorry, I better not say that word. Hey, George, thank you. Not impressed by Celtic at all. Let me say hello to John, who's in the line. Good morning, John.
Frank, it's Sean here from Belfast.
Yes, go ahead.
Frank, see your last caller, George. I mean, he's saying about Celtic getting beat by a team from Gibraltar. It was a two-legged tie. It was Brendan Rodgers' first competitive game. Do you know what I mean? These things happen in football. They went through with two legs. But when you look at what Celtic getting compared with money against the English league, you know what I mean? It's incomparable. So it is. But what I'm calling about is Linfield have to beat a team from San Marino before we even start talking about this. Do you know what I mean? The Caps,
no, but this is the point. But Sean, this is the point. We have to talk about it now because we have to presume Linfield are going to beat the San Marino team. There's no point trying to sort this out closer to the game. The match must not, and people must speak out in Belfast. Ratepayers in Belfast must speak out and ensure that the match between Linfield and Celtic does not happen on the 11th night.
Well, listen, Frank. See, when Celtic played Cliftonville a few years ago, right? All right, it was two nationalist teams, is what you could call them. There was no trouble at all because people didn't venture into the city centre. They were told, the Cliftonville had told any Celtic supporters, I'd been steward of the game, Cliftonville told any Celtic supporters travelling to the game to avoid the city centre. Everyone was in West Belfast. All the bars put on a fun day, as they call it. They had the big screens on. Do you know what I mean? If the police it right, they can get the Celtic supporters in through Boucher Road, and then out through Boucher Road again. They don't need to go in down any loyalist areas.
So are you suggesting that the Celtic fans then are hosted on the Falls or the Andersonstown Road and the bars and clubs there afterwards?
Well, that's where it happened. The Dabneys, they had it open all day. The big hall was open. They had Charlie and the boys were on the Rack Bar and the Falls Road. They all done it well.
Yeah, of course they did.
Trouble.
But where are they going to stay? Are they going to stay in the just West Belfast hotels?
Well, there's plenty of hotels in Belfast, Frank.
But Sean, do you not accept that whenever Celtic played the Reds, it was like all the fan base were in the nationalist community, the celebrations were all in the nationalist community, and it was just a standard July evening. This is the 11th night. This is Celtic going to Windsor Park. The police do not deserve to have the hassle of that added to what would be happening elsewhere
in
Belfast on the 11th night.
Listen, well then, know what to do, Frank. Read the UEFA. UEFA keeps countries apart that have political grievances with each other. Okay? But are they going to start doing that with club teams now? Do you know what I mean? You can't say that there, Frank. If you go to Glasgow, you know not to wear your colours in the city centre. Simple as that there. Do you know what I mean?
Sean,
I go to watch Celtic. I don't wear my Celtic hat in Glasgow city centre.
But Sean,
you just don't do it. They get niffed.
I have no problem. Celtic. Listen, you're missing the crucial bit here. I have no problem with Linfield playing Celtic at Windsor Park. I'm looking forward to Linfield playing Celtic at Windsor Park. I'd love to go to it. But all I'm saying is it can't be on the 11th of July, any other date with the exception of the 12th. It can't be on the 11th or the 12th of July. It can be on the 13th of July. It can be on the 10th of July. It can't be on the 11th. That's the critical bit.
Well, they're saying a bit earlier kickoffs too, Frank. 3 o'clock we mentioned as well.
Doesn't matter.
You know,
doesn't matter.
You know what I mean?
They shouldn't take a risk with our city lighting a touch paper that doesn't need to be lit.
Well, they're just going to have to try and keep the bigots out there. If Celtic can maybe try and get the season ticket holders or people that are affiliated with supporters clubs to get their tickets and same with Linfield. That's, you know what I mean? Celtic can take supporters anywhere in the world, Frank, and make friends. We took 80,000
supporters. Sure, I agree with you on that. I agree with you. I have no problem.
Wasn't a bit of trouble, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do understand what you're saying, but I don't think you'll get any trouble from the Celtic fans. And that's my honest opinion.
I don't think you get any trouble from the decent Celtic fan or the decent Linfield fan.
It's the person who's the next day will be out to start trouble.
Or the people who come up with a Celtic jersey or a flag wrapped around them who don't even know the name of the Celtic goalkeeper. Those are the people that I'd be worried about being in my hometown on the 11th night. Loyalists and Republicans having a go at each other and using Linfield and Celtic as an excuse. That's the danger. That's the danger.
Yeah,
and that's why my sympathy is with the police on this one.
Well, it is a danger, but I mean, it's probably the same when Celtic play Rangers and St Patrick's Day in Glasgow. I'm sure the Glasgow police have the same problem.